What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
My story takes place 19 years ago. I'm female and I was 16 at the time. I'm probably 5'7", about 130 pounds, and I like to think that I'm strong, but I couldn't take on two young men. So it begins with my mom and stepfather going away on vacation and leaving my 17-year-old sister and me home alone. They did this often. My parents were not winning any parenting awards. My sister and I didn't get along either. She was a nasty piece of work. Luckily, she decided to go stay at a friend's house while my parents were away. I was kind of nervous about being alone, so I had my boyfriend staying with me. He was a pugnacious jerk, but I'm glad he was there. One night, Brett and I were at my house, and we had just started messing around when I heard a really loud knock at the door. My room was in the basement, but at the landing area between the stairs. You know how some staircases are broken up and there's a turnaround area? That's the landing. There was a window which, through I could see the stairs, that led up to the alcove of our front porch. I could see two people standing there. And just as I was peeking out to see them better, one of them saw me. I remember feeling the breath sucked out of my chest. There were two young men sitting on the porch. It was almost midnight and I had no idea who the heck they were. The guy that saw me let his friend know, and they both looked in the window and asked me to come to the door. My boyfriend had gone upstairs to open the door, and I remember freaking out because I had told him not to. He was one of those guys that thought he was Mr. Tough Guy and believed he could fight anybody. He was telling the guys to leave just as I joined him at the door. They saw me and called me by name and asked for me to let them in. Brett told him to screw off. One guy, I think, said his name was Wes or Les, something like that, said, "Come outside, just want to talk to you," to my boyfriend. I said, "No thanks, we're going to bed," and shut the door. I was really confused and getting very scared. They stood on my doorstep for a few minutes, then started knocking again. Wes or Les explained to me through the door that he was my sister's friend and that she had told him I was alone at the time and that they should come by.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I knew my sister and I believed them. That did not, however, make me stupid. I told them to leave. They started kicking the door. I was shaking and I seriously feared that it would not hold up. I was so scared that I ran to my kitchen and called the police. I was assured that they would be there very soon and told to lock the doors and stay on the phone. Meanwhile, Brett was still yelling at them, which only served to piss these guys off more. I asked him to shut up, but he wouldn't listen. I was locking all the doors and windows upstairs while Brett went down to check the doors. Down in the basement, there was a huge mudroom area, and it had a thick wooden door made of 2x4 planks, kind of like a barn door. The door had a big old lock on it, some spring-loaded turnbolt, and also had a plank to set across it, like a barricade. One of the guys was pounding on this door, and Brett heard him tell the other guy to try the back door. This stupid door was one of those 1960s things that had a happy little square window right at face level, with a little curtain across it. I was at this door, trying to jam a chair under the flimsy knob, when I looked up and saw the unnamed guy just looking at me. I screamed, and the dispatcher asked me if I was alright. I barely squeaked out that one of the guys was looking right at me through the window. He was older than me, probably about 20, and he was tall. He looked very scary. His dark eyes were drilling into me. He wore this creepy, placid smile on his face. I had never seen this man before, but he knew my name. He tapped on the window with one finger, never breaking eye contact, and said, "Becky, let me in." I couldn't breathe. The knob was rattling as he was messing with it. He said again, "Let me in, Becky. I just want to see if you're okay, and I just want to talk." He stared at me. I didn't say anything. I was just 3 feet from him with my back pressed to the fridge when he suddenly started beating on the door and screamed, "Let me the F in this house. If I have to break in, I will kill you both, so just open the door." He looked absolutely maniacal. Then there was a loud knock at the front door, and the man went silent. He gave me the most hateful sneer I'd ever seen. I heard shouting, and he ran down the back stairs and into the woods along the back of my yard. But I had gone to the door. It was the cops. There were two female officers at the front door, and one was just starting to raise her voice, asking where I was when I came to the door too. I was so relieved, I started crying. I told them they had run away through the woods. Luckily, the woods were not deep. They actually ran along the bank of the large river, and there was a bridge just up from where the woods met the road. One officer ran around the back, while one stayed to get a description and take my statement. Officer number one came back and spoke to officer number two, saying she saw them running across the bridge. They both left in a hurry, hopped in the cruiser and sped off. I was still crying and shaking, but I was absolutely furious at Brett for riling them up. I went to make myself some tea, thinking of all the things I could kill my sister with when she got home. I had so much anger, fear, and adrenaline pumping through me, I could have ripped her to shreds at that moment. 20 minutes later, the cruiser came back. There were two guys sitting in the back seat, and the officers wanted me to confirm it was the right guys. I looked through the window and saw them. They still looked terrifying to me. They were in cuffs and could not get to me, but I would not get close to them. Neither would look at me. I confirmed it was them, and we spoke a bit. I told the cops about my sister, suggesting that these two men should come see me. Officer number two kind of mumbled, "What an absolute bitch." I had to agree. I pressed charges for attempted forcible entry, property damage. They had broken a window in the living room, trespassing, disorderly conduct, and attempted assault. Initially, they both pleaded not guilty, but later admitted to some of the charges. They both got 18 months in jail and were forbidden to contact me or my boyfriend ever again, and to be at least 500 meters from me at all times. I have never heard from them again. I confronted my sister about it, and of course she denied it, then laughed about it. Laughed at me. She was an awful person. I have no idea what their true intentions were, as they maintained that they were just there to talk to me. I'm thankful I didn't have to find out. I've been doing this for about 8 months, and I want to be clear that I'm not stupid about it. I know the risks. I've read every safety guide, watched every video, and taken every precaution there is to take. Fake name, no face, no location data in any file I upload, separate phone, separate email, separate everything. None of my friends even know. My family doesn't know. I run it completely isolated from my actual life, and I do it from my apartment because I'm a homebody who barely leaves, and it works for me. And it was working fine until it wasn't. His username was something random. Numbers and letters. Nothing memorable. He subscribed about 3 months before everything happened, and for the first month he was completely normal. Tipped well, messaged regularly. Nothing that set off any alarm. I have maybe 40 regulars, and he just became one of them. I responded to his messages in a friendly and professional way. Kept it on the platform and never gave anything real. The messages got more personal gradually enough that I didn't notice the shift happening. Looking back now, I can map it exactly, but in real time, it just felt like a regular getting more comfortable, which they all do eventually. He started messaging every day. Long ones. Detailed. The kind that take time to write. He talked about me like he knew me in a specific way. Not the parasocial thing where subscribers convince themselves of a connection, something more grounded than that. More certain. Then one Tuesday, he sent me a message that made me put my phone down and sit there. He described my apartment. Not directly. I know where you live. It was more just a casual comment about how you imagine I decorated. And every single detail he listed was correct. The color of my walls, which I had never shown. The fact that I had plants by the window, which I had never shown. The general layout, which I had also never shown. All of it was wrapped in this breezy tone, like he was just guessing and being playful. Haha, aren't I perceptive? I sat there on my couch and read it like 4 times. I went back through 3 months of messages and started pulling out every detail he dropped that I brushed off as coincidence or lucky observation. There were more than I expected. A reference to the sound of traffic outside my window that matched my street specifically. Comment about my delivery schedule that was accurate. Casual mention of the pharmacy 2 blocks away, like it was a known shared fact between us. I barely leave my apartment. I go out maybe twice a week for quick errands, in and out. I thought about the last 2 weeks and counted the times I'd left and then went back, through his messages from that same period, and felt the floor drop out from under me. Every time I had left my apartment, he had something in this next message that proved he'd seen me. Not explicitly and never directly, always wrapped in that same playful certainty. A comment about the weather that day, a reference to the color of my jacket. Once a specific detail about the way I'd been walking that he framed as a dream he'd had, just slipped it in there like it was nothing. He had been outside my building multiple times, watching me leave and come back and never saying anything. just filing it away and dropping into messages like little gifts he was leaving for me to find. I had never shown my face on my platform. Not once. Not even partially. He knew what I looked like anyway. I called the police that night and filed a report and gave them everything I had. Screenshots. The timeline. All of it. The officer I spoke to was thorough and took it seriously and explained that without a verified identity, there wasn't much they could act on immediately, but that they'd flag it and follow up. The account was under a fake name with an untraceable payment method. I stopped posting that same night and went completely dark. I didn't log in, didn't check messages, just shut it all down and told myself distance and silence would handle it, that he'd move on. Then without new content and without responses, he'd lose interest and disappear. For 3 weeks, nothing happened and I started to breathe again. It was a Wednesday night, maybe 11, and I was on my couch watching something when I heard footsteps stop outside my door.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
People stop outside doors in apartment buildings all the time. It's normal. I looked up from my show and listened and didn't hear anything else and went back to watching. Then came the knock. Three knocks. Not hard. Almost gentle, actually. The kind you do if you're trying to not disturb neighbors. I muted my show and sat there. I wasn't expecting anybody. I never have people over. Nobody comes to my door at 11 on a Wednesday. I went to the peephole. The man in the hallway is average height and plain looking, somewhere in his late 20s or early 30s, I guess. I didn't recognize him at all. He was smiling at the door, with that slight performative quality of someone who was aware of being observed. He was holding something against his chest, but I couldn't make out what it was from the peephole angle. I didn't say anything. I just stood there looking at him, and he stood there smiling at the door. Then he leaned in close to the door and said my name. My real name, not my platform name. My actual full name in a conversational tone, like we were old friends and he was just stopping by. He said he wasn't going to be long, that he just wanted to meet me properly, and that he felt like we already knew each other so well and it seemed so silly to keep pretending otherwise. His voice was completely calm and pleasant the whole time. No aggression in it, which somehow made it worse than aggression would have been. Then he laughed a little and said he just wanted to play. I was already calling the police with my other hand. The dispatcher answered, and I whispered the situation, and she told me to stay on the line and stay away from the door and that somebody was coming. I stood in the middle of my living room with the phone to my ear and watched the shadow of his feet in the gap under the door. He kept talking through the door the whole time, casual and unhurried, like he had nowhere to be. He referenced specific messages he'd sent me, things he said that he'd apparently been proud of, reciting them back like favorite lines. He talked about the times he'd seen me outside like they were fond memories. The pharmacy. The walk I'd taken around the block on a Sunday evening 2 weeks ago, and at the time I'd stood in my doorway to grab a delivery, and he'd been in the stairwell and I hadn't seen him. He'd been in my stairwell. He said my name one more time, softer, and then said he just wished I'd written back. Then the shadow under the door moved, and his footsteps went down the hallway, and I heard the stairwell door open and close. Police arrived about a few minutes later, and they swept the building and the surrounding block and found no one. The stairwell door at the ground level had been propped open with a small rock, done very carefully. Building security footage showed a figure in a hood entering through that door approximately 40 minutes before he knocked on mine. He'd been in the building for 40 minutes before he knocked, standing somewhere in that building in the dark for 40 minutes before he decided it was time. The case is open. They haven't found him. I moved out the following week and I'm staying with my cousin right now while I figure out my next step. Think about him standing in the stairwell the day I grabbed my delivery from the doorway. How close was he? How I stood there for maybe 30 seconds in my doorway looking at my phone, yet he was right there in the dark and I had no clue. I just wanted to play, he said. I hear that in my head a lot still. I don't think I'm going to stop hearing it for a while. So my parents got a dog. I want to lead with that because it's important context for why I ended up in this situation. They've been talking about getting one for years. Empty nest stuff, and they finally did it 2 months ago. A 2-year-old rescue named Tank. Some kind of lab mix. A big dopey thing that my mom is completely obsessed with. Which is awesome. Hank seems like a good dog, but the problem is they don't fully trust him alone overnight yet because he's still adjusting and apparently ate an entire couch cushion his second week there. So when they booked a long weekend trip upstate to visit my aunt, they asked me to come stay at the house and watch it. I'm 20, home from school for the summer, with no real reason to say no. Free food, a familiar bed, easy enough, I said. That was my first mistake, probably. I got to my parents' place Friday evening. They left around 6, I think, and for the first couple of hours, everything was completely fine. Hank was happy to see me, and we watched TV. I made food, and he sat with me by my feet the whole time, which my mom warned me he does. Normal dog stuff. I went to bed around midnight with Hank at the foot of the bed and fell asleep fast. I woke up at some point in the night to Hank growling. Not barking, but growling. Low and continuous. The kind of sound that's more vibration than noise. I sat up and he was standing at the bedroom door facing the hallway. Completely rigid. Every muscle in him locked up. I'd known this dog for 2 months and heard him make approximately 0 serious sounds. He was the least intimidating animal I'd ever encountered. Seeing him like that in the dark was genuinely startling. I listened. The house was quiet. I told him to relax and he didn't. He just kept that low growl going with his eyes fixed on the hallway. I got up and checked the house. Every room, every door, and every window. Everything locked and nothing out of place. I even checked the basement, which I hate doing at any hours at night, but I did it. And nothing. I went back to bed. Hank eventually settled and I fell back asleep. In the morning, I'd mostly forgotten about it. Saturday was fine. Took Hank for a long walk, did nothing, ate my parents' food again, and completely relaxed. I went to bed earlier, maybe at 11 or so, tired from the walk. I woke up at 2 a.m. to Hank gone from the bed. I could hear him somewhere in the house. That same low growl went, I got up and followed it. He was in the kitchen standing in front of the basement door, in the same posture as the night before, with the same locked up stillness. I stood there in the dark kitchen in my socks looking at him. I felt something I hadn't felt the night before, which was that the dog was not going to move from the door. I stood there for a long moment, then I heard something on the other side of it. Just a single soft sound, something shifting, like weight redistributing on the wooden basement stairs. One quiet creak and then nothing. I grabbed the knife on the counter, took out the biggest one, and called 911 from the kitchen while Hank stood guard at the door. I whispered the address and told him I thought somebody was in the basement and the dispatcher told me to stay on the line and stay away from the basement door, which I was obviously happy to do. 2 officers got there in 4 minutes, and I let them in the front, and one of them took Hank by the collar while the other opened the basement door with his hand on his holster. They found him on the stairs. A man, probably mid-40s, sitting on the 4th step from the bottom in the dark, like he'd been there for a while.
Happy birthday, America! It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Not armed or aggressive, but just sitting there. He looked exhausted more than anything. When the officer asked him what he was doing, he said he used to live here. Saying it like that explained everything. He said he just needed somewhere to sleep, and he knew the back basement window latch had always been broken and figured nobody would notice. The broken window latch my parents have apparently had for years and never fixed. The officer looked at me and I looked at the officer. They ran his name. He had a record, nothing violent, mostly trespassing and vagrancy, and he had indeed owned that house at some point and sold it 12 years ago. Whether that made him feel entitled to come back and sleep in the basement, I genuinely could not tell you. He seemed more sad than dangerous, though. They took him out and I gave my statement in the kitchen while Hank sat on my feet the whole time. Here's the thing that I keep coming back to, though. The officer who cleared the basement walked the whole thing before they brought the guy out. He came back upstairs and mentioned that the old couch down there, the one my parents had been meaning to throw out for years, had apparently been slept on recently. Multiple times recently, he said, based on the indentation and some personal items nearby, like a water bottle and stuff like that. My parents have been in that house 9 years. Hank has been there for 2 months. You can draw your own conclusions about how long this had been going on before Hank showed up and started waking people up at 2 a.m. I fixed the window latch myself the next morning. Bought the hardware at the store down the road and watched a video and got it done in about 20 minutes. I didn't mention it to my parents until they got home. My mom cried a little. My dad immediately went and bought a security system. Hank got an extra treat that night. He deserved probably about 100 of them. I'm 19, and my two younger brothers, Damon, who is 16, and Kobe, who just turned 13, were home alone for the weekend because our parents drove down to our grandma's place in Kentucky for her birthday. We'd been left alone before plenty of times, so nobody was stressed about it. I was the oldest, so I was technically in charge, which basically just meant I got to pick what we ordered for dinner and had to make sure Kobe didn't stay up until 4 in the morning on his Xbox. Pretty standard stuff. Friday night was fine. We ordered wings and watched a movie. Kobe was in bed by midnight, which was later than our parents would have allowed, but I wasn't going to fight him on it. Damon and I stayed up for another hour or so and then called it. Saturday was equally normal, right up until around 9 at night. I was in the living room on my phone, and Damon was at the kitchen table doing something on his laptop. And Kobe was in his room gaming when Damon looked up and said there was somebody in the backyard. I went to the kitchen window and looked out. There were two of them standing in the yard. Not at the fence line, not passing through. Standing maybe 30 feet from the back door, completely still facing the house. Both are wearing white masks. Not Halloween store masks, not cheap plastic things. Full white featureless masks that cover their entire faces. The kind with no expression at all. No holes for a mouth, just two eye openings. And flat white nothing everywhere else. I stood at that window for probably 5 full seconds just staring, trying to process what I was looking at. Then a third one stepped out of the shadows near the tree line at the back of the yard, and stood with the other two. I pulled Damon away from the window and told him to go get Kobe right now, and bring him downstairs and to move fast, but not run. He looked at my face and didn't ask questions and went. I checked the back door. It was locked. Checked the sliding door off the dining room. Also locked. Went to the front and checked that. All good. All the downstairs windows I could reach, I checked one by one while Damon got Kobe and brought him down. Kobe came into the living room, still holding his controller, and started to ask what was happening. And I cut him off and told him to sit on the couch and stay away from the windows. I looked out the front window. One of them was now standing in the front yard. I hadn't heard a gate open or close. Also hadn't heard footsteps around the side of the house. One of the three from the back was just in the front yard now. Same posture. Facing the house with that flat white face tilted slightly upward toward the window I was looking through. I stepped back and called my dad. It went straight to voicemail. I called my mom and same. I left a message that was probably not very coherent and then called the cops and actually got through. The dispatcher asked me if anyone had tried to enter the house and I said, not yet. And she said to stay inside and away from windows and that officers were being sent. Kobe was asking questions nonstop and Damon was trying to keep him quiet. I was moving from window to window trying to check where they were without getting close enough to be seen. Two were still in the backyard, one in the front. That was three accounted for. Then something knocked on the front door. Four slow knocks with a pause between each one. Kind of even sounding, impatient. Like whoever was doing it had all night and knew it. Kobe grabbed my arm. I told him quietly that we were not going to answer it and that the police were coming. More knocks. Then nothing for a while. I checked the front window again from an angle where I couldn't be seen straight on. The one who had been in the front yard was gone. I did not find that reassuring one bit. I went back to checking every window I could without getting close. The two in the backyard had moved closer to the house, maybe 20 feet or so. Still not moving toward the door, but closer than before. Just standing there in the dark with those white masks, picking up a little bit of the light coming from the kitchen. Something scraped along the side of the house. A slow dragging sound from the back toward the front along the exterior wall. Like something being dragged across the siding at waist height. Kobe made a sound and I put my hand on his shoulder and kept him from saying anything. The scraping stopped at the front corner of the house and then nothing again. I called my dad again. This time he picked up and I talked fast and low and told him what was happening. He told me he was calling the police himself and to lock ourselves in an upstairs room and not to open any door for any reason. I told him I'd already called and they were coming. He went upstairs. I put Kobe and Damon in my parents' room, which had a solid door and lock, and I told him to push the dresser in front of it, which Damon did while I stood in the hallway watching the staircase. Then every light in the house went out. Somebody had cut the power. I got into the room and helped Damon finish moving the dresser, and we sat in the dark on the floor, all three of us against the far wall, and just listened. The house was quiet. No white noise. Just the three of us breathing in whatever was outside. We heard the front door open. Just opening. The specific sound of it, the slight creak it always made on the hinges, opening like somebody had a key or the lock had given up entirely. Then we heard footsteps on the hardwood downstairs. Definitely more than one person. Kobe was shaking my arm, because he was shaking so hard. And I held on to him and kept my mouth next to his ear and told him in the quietest voice I've ever used that the police were almost here and to stay completely quiet no matter what. The footsteps moved through the downstairs into the kitchen, back through the living room, stopping at the bottom of the stairs. One set of footsteps started coming up. I could hear them on each step. That same slow pace, not rushing, just climbing, reaching the top, moving down the hall. They stopped outside the bedroom door. Not for a long time. Then the handle moved, hit the lock, and released. Then a soft knock. I had 911 still open on my phone, and I typed in the notes app and held it up for Damon to see. They were inside, upstairs hallway. He nodded. The person on the other side of the door stood there for quite a while. I could see the shadow of their feet in the gap under the door, just standing there. Not speaking and not trying the handle, just standing there on the other side of the dresser and the locked door and whatever distance was left between us. The red and blue light started coming through the bedroom window from outside. The feet in the gap under the door disappeared, passed back down the hall, down the stairs, and then the sounds of the front door. I waited until I heard officers announcing themselves downstairs before I moved the dresser. They found the front door wide open. The power had been cut at the breaker box on the side of the house, accessed from outside. They searched the yard and the surrounding streets but found nothing at all. No masks and no people. Nothing left behind. We stayed at a neighbor's house that night while officers finished going through the property. My parents drove back from Kentucky and got there around 4 in the morning. Nobody was ever identified. Nobody ever figured out who they were or why they picked our house or what they really wanted. The officers said it was likely a group of teenagers pulling an elaborate prank, and I've tried to believe that because it's the most comfortable explanation. But teenagers doing a prank don't cut your power and they don't break inside. They don't stand in the dark on the other side of a locked door for 5 minutes without making a sound. Whoever they were organized and they were patient. And they knew exactly what they were doing every step of the way.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think about Kobe the most because he was 13 and he sat in that dark room shaking and didn't make a sound the whole time because I asked him not to. He still doesn't talk about it, not even with me and Damon. I don't push it. Some things you just have to carry.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.